The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we are here today, as every week, to help you make the best decision you can make for yourself. Because ultimately, you are the one that understands yourself better than anyone else. And if you're informed with the right pieces of information, then you can make the best decision that suits you, not the best decision that suits what everyone says you're supposed to do.
Educate and implement.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. That could be our tagline now.
Educate and implement.
That's it.
Educating and implementing.
Yeah.
Should we just jump right into the markets? Another crazy week or so. NASDAQ, I mean, it's only taken 15 years, but the NASDAQ hit its all-time high.
It
surpassed the 2000 high, which is, we've talked about this a little bit before. I still really believe that the investors don't realize how lucky they truly are that the market has recovered since early 2009 as quickly as it has. I think the NASDAQ, what happened there, is closer to reality of how things do function and how they should function when you take such a tremendous hit, because the 2000 bubble bursting and then 2001, 9/11 hit, and it was 2-3 years in a row of significant downward movement, and it took now 15 years to get back to the all-time high that was hit.
Well, the other side of it is there's no guarantee that you ever need to get back to that all-time high, right?
Correct.
And look at Japan. How many, 30 years now? They're not even close.
Right.
They're still about a third of where they were. So, I mean, you know, there's this sort of thought process where people expect things to go back to where they were and higher. And it doesn't always have to happen that way.
Right.
I mean,
and it doesn't necessarily have to happen if you are making the decisions that are right for you. It doesn't matter if the market goes to its all-time highs or not. You can still do very, very well.
Right.
Like the reality is most top stock investors do the best when the market is just moving sideways. Don't you agree?
Well, it depends on your trading strategy, but yeah, you can do well if you lined up with that market. Mm-hmm. I always sort of, I call it, you know, getting into the rhythm of the market. And if you get in that rhythm, and it happens as a trader every now and again, and you feel the drumbeat of the market and you're actually trading to that drumbeat, you can make tons of money without the market going anywhere. Unfortunately, you seem to lose rhythm at some stage and then you start giving money back. And that's just the nature of the beast. And that's one of the reasons why most, if not all, of the advertising and that you're hearing now and is for ETFs or not to trade, but just to buy and hold and invest. And that was the whole concept designed. And it came from a guy called Richard Malkiel, who wrote the first book way back when I was studying the CFA. Wow, that's a long time ago. That's like, wow, almost 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was one of those groundbreaking books. It was called A Random Walk Down Wall Street. And what the book was about is how you cannot beat the market. So why not just buy the market and hold it? Mm-hmm. And out of that came your ETFs of the spiders, which tracked the S&P 500, the diamonds that tracked the Dow. You know, then you had the triple Qs that tracked the NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. And from that, it's just morphed into this industry where it's pretty much like there's any ETF known to...
Right. If there's an area that you're interested in, there's probably an ETF that specializes in that area. Because the whole concept of the ETF is it tracks an index.
Yeah.
So if an index doesn't exist, one gets created so that they can track it and try to mimic it.
Correct. And so that was where it all came from. And so now really, to me, the golden era of the stock market is sort of over, because now people just buy these ETFs and put them away and supposedly plug it into some part of their portfolio. And now you've got robotic trading where, Schwab's come out with that. And and you've got, these age-dated funds or whatever they're called. Target-dated funds. And everything's just being made so that people don't have to think. That you don't really think, right? You just take your money and drop it into one of these buckets and hey presto, everything's taken care of for you.
Right.
And to me, that's a mistake. That's why one of the reasons why we're here, because I think people are taking less and less responsibility for their investments. They're being I wouldn't say conned. Conned isn't the right word, but they've been sold into these structures. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them don't really understand it. They get the sales pitch. They don't understand the fee structure. They don't understand the risks. They don't understand virtually anything about it. It's just being sold to them as this is what you do, and then it'll take care of itself for you over the rest of your existence. And I just can't buy that, to be honest. And every time... Think back to remember when the first, and was it 97, when you had the first blow up with computer trading. I think it was 97 crash. It was like a flash crash where it just literally all went down, and about 3 days later it all went screaming back up because the computer started triggering selling, and then other computers programmed.
Kicked in because of percentage movements.
And you literally just had these dominoes falling off, and soon everybody was just selling because it was always computerized. I know it's more sophisticated now, but it's still, to me, if you're not buying companies for value, you're not buying companies based on good fundamentals, you're just buying an ETF where who really cares? I can tell you right now, if we throw 10 ETFs like cards on a table and have an investor pick one out of that deck and you ask them, okay, what stocks make up this ETF? They won't know.
Right.
And a lot of the financial planners won't know either. I tell you right now, I wouldn't. I don't know every stock in every ETF. I could have a vague idea. But that's the point that I'm trying to make is when you're buying these ETFs, you're buying a basket of stocks. You're not just buying one individual stock, right, although it's being sold almost as one stock, right?
Because they do trade exactly like a stock.
Yeah.
I think that could create some of the confusion, but it is... like a fund. It really is. That's why it's called an exchange-traded fund.
But that's, as you say, it trades like a stock, right? Mm-hmm. So think about it in a big picture of things. Let's assume the market starts crashing, okay, like it did back in 2008 or 2009, mm-hmm. and it starts going down, and people start having to dump these ETFs. Now, you're not just dumping one stock.
Right.
You're dumping the whole pool. Right?
Maybe Apple releases bad news.
Or something. Or it doesn't matter, but it's just... suddenly, everyone's dumping ETFs to get money because the margin amounts out there are so high, people are going to have to start getting paid out, right?
Right.
If they start dumping ETFs, you're not just selling one stock, you're selling 50. And they multiply that by the whole country, you know, everyone's selling because we all have to because everyone's margin to the hilt.
Right.
Now you've got a real problem. That flash crash is going to look like nothing compared to that. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the part that just worries me about this whole ETF, and just give us your money and we'll handle everything. Don't worry about it. You'll be taken care of.
Right. That whole mentality.
And that seems to be where we're going, unfortunately, which is why we're here.
Correct.
Because we got mad enough to
to educate and implement.
That's right. Maybe we'll change the radio station from The Answer to Educate and Implement.
Yeah.
What do you think, Todd?
We didn't hear you.
We didn't hear you.
But I think I saw. We can't implement that today. So, okay, well, stick around. When we come back, we are going to talk a little deeper into the idea of whether or not a target date fund makes sense, for whether it's for you or just in general. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
Intelligent, conservative, AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Saying, "I don't know," is no longer acceptable. This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. It is Portfolio Doctors. Thank you for joining us here on this beautiful, sunny...
Finally.
The June gloom burned off early in the day.
Yes.
And it's very nice out. We're glad you're tuning in. Steve brought up a pretty interesting topic in the first segment and mentioned target date funds and how that is another vehicle that the professionals have created to try to simplify lives.
They are really giving it a college try.
Yes.
Wow.
With everything.
Yeah.
And one of the key aspects of a target date fund, I do see value in it, just coming from a planning perspective. Mm-hmm. In the best case, I could see where it seems to add the most value is in something like a company retirement plan, where you have 10 or 20 options, mm-hmm. and you don't know enough about what your profile is or how much risk you should be taking or how, if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you're trying to create this portfolio, how it works with all the other pieces of your portfolio. Because we've talked how everything makes up your portfolio. It's not just your stocks and your bonds. Real estate. And I think it can fit, especially in the early stages. If you're just started a new job, you're just starting to put money into the plan that your company provides, and there is a target date fund, I think it can make sense to just start accumulating money there. And then as that starts to grow, as you've added more and more money, then reevaluate it and say, do I want to just trust that this company is going to continue to do a good job? Or are they going to get caught where they're not staying on top of it as advertised? Because I have seen that on occasion where the fund company doesn't stay on top of it, and the risk is not being removed from the portfolio as someone ages appropriately. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I mean, I think target dated funds are okay. I think the hesitation I have is they're sort of being sold as this is all you need to do. Right. Just dump all of your cash in here and we'll take care of you.
Sure.
And to our listeners out there, I mean, maybe you all are billionaires, but let's assume they're not. That everyone, and probably right. like seven of them are. But,
right.
but if you are a billionaire, just think about it for a minute. If assuming tomorrow you win $1 billion in the lottery or whatever, okay? You're not going to take that entire $1 billion and dump it into a target-dated fund.
Right.
I mean, you'd be absolutely crazy to do that, right? So what you would do is you'd possibly put some in there, and then you would put some in real estate and some in private equity and some in some hedge funds and
cash
and, you know, various other bits and pieces. But the point I'm trying to make is if the mega wealthy aren't dumping their entire portfolio into this, why are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the point I'm trying to make. Because what constitutes the breaking point where a target dated fund no longer is everything? And my view is it should never be everything. I don't really have a beef with the target dated funds. I have a beef with the way they're being sold. The one thing that they do have on top of what you've mentioned is it does take a lot of the emotions out of buying and selling.
Right.
So you don't get wedded to a particular position and then watch it go to zero. I mean, they are supposed, if they're doing their job, they're reallocating for you mm-hmm. without you even knowing. So that side of it, I think, is good. But I just want to caution everyone out there listening that don't just think that this target dated fund is all you need to do. I'm now ready for retirement.
Right, just set it and forget it.
Yeah. There's so many other places to go.
And again, if it's a piece of the puzzle,
correct.
It can make perfect sense.
Agreed.
Especially if you're 20 years old and you start funding this retirement plan with a target date fund. And just a quick step back, a target date fund is a fund that you select based on when you expect to retire. So if you're 20 and you're thinking you're going to retire
40.
At 40.
Every 20-year-old thinks 20 they're going to retire at 40. I did. And suddenly 40 came and went. And so then it moved to 60. And now I'm thinking 85 is a good time.
So if you're 20 and you're going to 85, wow, you've got 65 years.
Yeah, but no one thinks that way when they're 20.
Absolutely. And that's where I think it can make a lot of sense, depending on where you are, to just have a place to not have to think about it and not understand. Because like you said, most 20-year-olds think, oh, I'm only going to do this for a short time. I'm going to retire. I'm going to be really successful.
Yeah, dad was an idiot. Why couldn't he retire at 40?
Right.
You know, seriously.
You know everything when you're 20, 22.
Course. But that brings up another point, though, to these target-dated funds. If you put in there and you say, right, I'm going to retire at 40 or 50, and you get to 30, and now you just realize that 65 is probably a reasonable time, and you get to 50 and you realize, wow, it's probably going to be 80, right? It's been reallocating based on your original thing. You keep having to change it. So it's not doing its job, really.
Right. If you're suddenly continually changing it, then right.
It's not the catch-all that it's supposed to be.
Right.
And this is real life examples. There's no one that I know has said, right, I'm retiring at 60 and their birthday appears, and
that's their retirement party in addition to their birthday party.
I haven't ever seen that.
Me neither.
And the other side of it is life throws so many challenges at you that you're constantly changing things. Suddenly you have a kid, or you get sick, or, you know, all these things happen. Suddenly you have a grandkid, you know, or whatever it might be, and everything changes. And so the thought, that's really, you know, my thought on these target dated funds, if you truly believe that this is going to sort you out, please wake up and realize that.
Well, and something you just mentioned, the whole idea of life changing and your plans changing, that brings back to something we talk about all the time, the importance of having a plan that is specific to what you're trying to accomplish And you have to have a day that starts. What's important today may not be what's most important tomorrow.
Right.
But you have to have a starting point. And then probably the more important part is once you have some type of plan that you're following, revisiting it regularly, whether it's a couple times a year, at least annually, look and just ask yourself, what has changed since the last time we started implementing this?
Right.
What has changed? Oh, guess what? I got married. We have a baby on the way. Suddenly, that's very different than if you were single a year earlier.
Agreed. I mean, for example, I have a friend who at 45 got married for the first time. The very first year that he, so that was a change. And in the very first year, his wife fell pregnant and they had twins. So you want to talk about 12 months later, he went from me, myself, I, and he's had $500,000 set aside, right? So he was thinking, it's just me, I'm good to go, right. Which he probably was.
Things are looking good.
And suddenly you've got a family of four, $500,000, there's even a drop in the bucket suddenly.
Nope.
You know, so that's a huge, huge change just like that in 12 months.
Sure.
You know, so you really have to stay on top of this stuff. Right. You can't just think that these target dated funds are, is it.
No, and part of that would be reviewing whether or not that target date fund makes the most sense for you when you review, when you look back and say, what is different today? Is what I set up a year ago still what's best for me based on what's important today? And continually do that.
Which is an interesting thought. So, I mean, you can't really trade in and out of a target dated fund, can you?
If it's in a retirement plan, you can reallocate the funds. You can move them into something else.
But the target dated funds are sort of a 10, 20, 30 year time horizon. So
a lot of them now are based on a year. So you would pick
1 year.
On a year target date. So like right now it's 2015. Yeah. If you decided you were going to retire in 40 years, then the 2055 target date fund is what you would choose.
Yep. Oh, I see.
So if you were a 25-year-old today and you wanted to use a target date fund, assuming you're going to retire at 65, you pick that 40.
Okay. So, but if you change, let's say in 2016, you suddenly, like my friend, married with you know,
twins,
you end up being able to just say, okay, scrap it. I'm selling out of this.
Yes.
Okay.
Then you can reallocate that.
So you're not like you're locked in.
No. And if that fund is behaving properly, it should be investing pretty heavily in equities if you've got 40 years on your time horizon. That's the whole concept of the target date fund is take most of your risk when you're younger and then slowly migrate to a less risky portfolio as you're approaching that target date.
Now, I understand the concept, but the problem is, okay, let's take that as a thought. So you dump some money into a target dated fund today and you've got a 30-year time horizon and you're allocating most to stocks. I mean, stocks are at the highest level they've been ever. The value to price to equity ratio is off the chart. The last time it was here was 2007, 2019, 28. We haven't had valuations this high, but you're going to blindly allocate a big chunk of your money into the stock market. See, that's the part that just gets me, where you might want to just think a little bit about it, right? I mean, because if you think about that, where's the growth? Domestic product has to grow like crazy, which I've already ratcheted down the numbers again at the last Federal Open Market Committee, which we didn't even talk about earlier. But so growth projections are down again, which means they're going to keep interest rates low, which probably means the stock market's going to rally a little bit more. But the upside to the stock market is so limited to me versus the downside.
Right.
Is so
heavy. It's the risk reward.
Yeah, but because you're allocating, you could have a situation where you go off a cliff right now in your target date fund, and 15 years later, like we've just seen in the NASDAQ, hey, I'm back. But guess what? At that point, you're already allocating into bonds, and it's too late. You missed the whole thing.
Well, that's where I feel it. The target date fund really fits well for a retirement plan, like a 401k, because you're dollar cost averaging. Every month, you're putting some small amount. So if you do fall off that cliff, you're continuing to buy it when it's on sale.
Hopefully.
At a deep sale.
Assuming you don't lose your job.
Right. Correct. Yes. Yeah. If we have that big of a hit that could really affect the economy, then your job could be at risk. But that's why I brought it up as a acceptable option in a retirement plan. So you don't have to try to figure out, do I need large cap and what percent of my asset should go into large cap and small cap and international, and trying to create your own allocation model.
No, I understand. But then that you also haven't factored in, you know, your human capital or your, you know, what, where you're working, how risky your job is. You know, you might be over allocated to tech at work and in your portfolio. I mean, there's so many different things that aren't taken into account. I mean, and for listeners now, if you're starting to just see the complexity of this, now you understand why you really need to get educated, because this is not a mug's game. This takes some thought and effort and work.
It's not as simple as just set it and forget it.
No.
Well, a lot of talk lately about the Chargers, and that's a really emotional issue here in town. I think it's becoming less. I think people are getting fed up. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a topic Steve already hinted at. The having emotion involved in decision-making and how that can be a positive or a negative.
Right.
When we come back, we'll discuss that as it relates to investing. You're listening to Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
The Answer, everywhere you go, on iHeartRadio.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
AM 1170, theanswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. It's the Portfolio Doctors. Thanks again for listening, sharing your day with us. Well, we've been talking about the importance of understanding how to make the right decision based on what your needs are, what your goals are, what's important to you. And we've touched on a couple different ideas that are out there a lot. And we're not trying to scare you at all and show you that there's a lot of moving parts and you need to be afraid and it's overwhelming. So just don't do anything. We want you to take this information and be able to make better decisions. Because there is a lot of information out there that can be misleading. And between us, what have we determined? 50 years of experience?
Right.
In the financial markets, advising individuals. So we feel the information we're giving is useful and can be really put to good use for your benefit. One of the items, one of the probably biggest pitfalls I've seen when it comes to investing. And I've had this conversation with numerous clients over the years, and it really happened. I saw it a lot with Qualcomm, a local company here. When the tech bubble, right before it, Qualcomm was going up 20, 30, 50 points a day.
Right.
Just jumping like crazy.
Boy, I remember those.
Many people made a fortune off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there were a lot of people that bought it right around the time it split for the last time. I think it was in 2000, might have been the end of 99. So they basically bought it at somewhere in the neighborhood of $200 per share. And then, of course, we know what happened in 2000, 2001, 2002, and it ended up going down to $50 or $60 a share from $200.
Right.
And so the people that bought it at $180, $190, $200, it's a local company, so there's one little bit of emotional attachment to it.
Right.
They do a lot of great things in the community. Mm-hmm. So there's another, well, we have to support this company because they support the community. And, well,
the press will be right behind them because they don't want them to go anywhere.
Right. And the biggest one is I can't sell it now because it's dropped too much.
Oh, yeah.
I can't lose that money.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest one that creates the most difficult decision making. If there's something else out there, another investment opportunity, maybe Apple, maybe Google, maybe Amazon, maybe any range of companies or investment strategies, maybe a piece of property, maybe it made more sense after the housing market crashed to sell that Qualcomm position that you have a 30, 40% loss, 50% loss in, and invest that money in something that has a much greater growth opportunity. Yes, it's painful. It's like tearing off a Band-Aid. It hurts if you do it slowly, but if you just sell it flat out and move on and remove the emotion and say, this is no longer a good investment for me, and moving on to something else that gives you the opportunity for that money to turn around and grow quicker, you can definitely help yourself and benefit significantly. But that real challenge, I'm sure, Steve, you've seen people with that same mentality. I just use Qualcomm because everyone knows someone that did that because it was going up so much every day.
Yeah.
You didn't want to miss out.
The problem is not necessarily, so you, because I mean, anyone who's traded stocks or invested in stocks has had this situation.
As a loser.
And so you get out, right? You sell. And I'll tell you right now, the first thing that happens is the thing turns around and starts rushing up again.
Goes up quickly.
Yeah. And you are incredibly hard-pressed not to jump back in because a lot of times you go, oh.
There it goes. Lost, I knew it.
There it goes. I knew it. And you pile back in and it flips right around and goes further down. Mm-hmm. Now you've got even a bigger loss. And now you're getting to the emotional state of, I'm going to get even with this. You know, now all bets are off because now you've got completely emotionally wrecked on this one. And so that's the problem. Is deciding when to sell. That's why you need a disciplined approach if you're going to play that game, and you need to have cut earlier. And so that when you see it get pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded, it's not like you don't like the company.
Right.
You just don't want to take that massive loss. And maybe at some point in that example, in the second example I gave, which is you've cut your losses early, you might start buying back in again. It's a different emotional roller coaster to the first one where you're now fighting the tape, you're trying to get even, you're angry, and you keep just giving away more money. And then, because the other side of things, the stock you might move out of and move into, that other stock might suddenly underperform your original one.
Right.
And I'll tell you right now, it's human nature that you are going to track that one you sold. And every time it goes up a dollar, you're going to feel this knife stabbed right in your side.
I was going to say, there could be another theme of sell it and forget it.
It's almost impossible.
Right.
It's almost impossible, particularly the thing with your example using Qualcomm. Qualcomm is a quality company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if when the stock was going down, it was a poor company then. It's still a good company
today. It
had
just run up so quickly.
Exactly.
It was more emotional riding it up.
Correct.
Than
I mean, take Apple right now. It's a $750 billion company, you know. Let's assume it turns around and goes down to a $400 billion company. It's still a great company.
still.
But do you really want to be part of that $300 billion loss? If you had sold earlier and you were then buying it back maybe at $300 or $400 billion, then you'd be looking
right.
good.
We saw that situation just a couple of years ago.
I know.
Apple took a significant hit.
Yeah.
And now it has recovered and gone way up. So if you would have been in that position where you own that stock near its peak and it started dropping and you got out quickly and it kept going.
Yeah.
And then you decided, okay, it seems to have settled here. And I don't know where it was near 500, went down to about 300.
Yeah. But I mean, the problem with this is once again, now we're sort of trading stocks.
Right.
So we've moved way away from an ETF, and which is because people can't handle that. With when you're trading that often, you're now really almost, it's almost a full-time job.
Right.
And so the industry, that's why the industry said, hey, here's a solution. We'll do it all for you. And so, and they've supposedly removed some of those emotions out of the equation for the mom and pop and, you know, your average investor. Right. So I think that's a benefit, but it also takes away a lot of the upside, I think, to what you could potentially achieve. You're now just part of the market, and maybe that's not such a bad thing for most people. But
well, the reality, I mean, look at Vanguard was built on, let's just do what the market does.
Right.
As low a cost way to do that as possible. And Vanguard is the largest mutual fund company that exists.
Can you believe they had, when I last looked, something like $100 billion just in their money market account, which last year earned 0.01% or something ridiculous. Why would there be $100 billion in that?
People choosing to allocate to cash.
All right. Oh, it's just amazing to me.
Right.
You know? You should go buy properties in Ohio.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't even know. Did our men from Ohio call us yet?
I think I may see the line flashing. They may have just got on. Yeah, so there you go.
There you are. See?
Perfect segue.
Yeah.
Let's move Vanguard's cash
into
Dave and RJ.
I don't know if Ohio can handle $100 billion. Can Ohio handle $100 billion?
Are you guys prepared to accept that much money?
Hey, guys. It's RJ. I think Dave's coming on, too, here in just a second.
Okay.
I hear you guys have a $1 billion coming our way.
A hundred billion.
Wow, that can buy the whole state.
That's what we were asking.
Maybe some of the neighboring states as well.
I know. With our prices being right at, you know, under 50,000 and right around there, I mean, I'm sure we can buy up a lot of homes, guys.
Yeah, the problem with that is then you start pushing the price up, right? Because you are the market at that point.
Right, right. So, that's called a monopoly.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, what's going on out in Ohio?
Well, we're seeing a lot of you know, a lot of inventory getting bought here by a lot of you guys out in California.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been kind of on the hunt for some more homes, which is good news. And the prices are, again, still available to you guys out in California and out west for right around that, you know, really the starting off point. Actually, 35,000 can get you into a nice home, and all the way up to about 130. So.
Yeah, that's like a down payment against a house over here, and you got a free and clear over there.
Right.
Yeah, sort of crazy. And the rental income's still looking solid, huh?
Yeah, the rents are going to be right at that 700 mark.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get you about a 3-bedroom, 1-bath to start off, and then 700 to around 1300. So The rents are really good compared to what you're paying for the homes.
Yeah, that's the metric I just love, because that's a buyer's market right there. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. If you can get property values around the 50 grand and rent at about 700 bucks, I mean, you're earning 15% return on your money just based on the rental income. What can you guys talk a little bit about property appreciation in terms of the actual value of the properties? Is there much appreciation happening?
In a lot of the homes, there's probably more cash flow than there is appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've seen is when you get into better neighborhoods, which we have that inventory available, and that price range is going to be around 80 to about 130. The appreciation is northward of 4%. Mm-hmm. It's not staggering, but you know, historically, Columbus, Ohio is more of a, it's very stable of a market for cash flow.
Well, here's the deal, though. I mean, if property markets historically across the globe appreciate on average 3 to 5%. I mean, that's a normal property market. And I think what investors in California miss is that, sure, here you get the up of 20%, you know, but then you also get the down of 30-40%. When you have a nice stable market like Columbus, and sure, you only, and I say that with inverted commas, getting 3 or 4% appreciation, but you don't have that massive collapse when, because you know, it's still affordable housing for everyone, and here you just get those highs and lows because most of the population can't afford to even put a down payment on a property, let alone own the and do the payments, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's Columbus is such a good idea.
It's a great idea. A lot of our investors are kind of shocked at, you know, the entry point to become a real estate investor. Just because the prices are where they're at compared to, you know, California and some other places where, you know, it can't, like $30,000 or $50,000 can't even get you, you know, into something that's going to cash flow at least 13%, 15%. You just don't see those numbers over there.
No, right, exactly. Hey, I was just wondering, out of a matter of interest, did the World Radio Personality of the Year get on the line yet or not?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Parrish in Columbus.
There he is.
Super, super grateful to be on the Portfolio Doctors, and to all the listeners out there, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making us part of your day. And you guys are absolutely right. I was just sitting on the sidelines listening because everything you're saying is really just hitting the nail on the head. It's really a no-brainer. In fact, today I spent all day. I collected about $1,300 cash. I have cash in my pocket right now. This is what we do. I wanted to make it clear to all your listeners out there, not only do we provide excellent, you know, cash flow properties to your listeners and people all over California, but this is what we do. This is our full-time job. You know, we own properties, we manage properties, and, you know, we've had nothing but testimonials and great success stories by providing properties to investors really all over the world. But that's the thing here, guys. Also, somebody doesn't have to be a real estate investor. In fact, the majority of people who purchase properties from us are average, everyday working-class people who just want to earn a stable, solid, and above average return on their money. And that's what we're able to provide here with properties in Columbus, Ohio.
That's exactly why we have you on. Your methods, your whole system that you provide is such a high level that we're really comfortable. And that's why we want you on every week sharing with our listeners the opportunities that exist there.
We're super grateful to be on every single week. And, you know, I kind of wish we were in California today. It's raining cats and dogs here in Ohio. But, you know, the little jingle I've been just singing to myself all day is it's raining, it's pouring, but the cash flow keeps rolling.
You see, I told you it's the radio personality.
Wow.
Rain or shine, the cash flow doesn't stop. So I encourage all your listeners to get online. www.columbusturnkeyhouses.com. I'm Dave Parrichin with RJ Papino, and you know, it's been a blast being on your show, and we look forward to many more shows and working with more of your listeners.
All right, great, guys. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks much.
Take care.
Talk to you again next
week.
Guys.
Okay,
next.
See ya.
All right. Well, there you go. That's Dave and RJ with columbusturnkeyhouses.com. And again, that is plural. columbusturnkeyhouses.com. Give them a call, look them up on the web, and just see what they're all about. Two very good, honest guys. We had a meeting with them just recently.
Yeah.
And they're doing fantastic things there in Columbus in a very good market to provide
Right.
Very stable, like they said, very stable cash flow.
Now, it appears to me that this might be the first time we've ever just completely blown off our commercials.
Yes.
Did we just...
We're allowed to do that. Everyone's
all
right.
Did we just blow our commercials off?
You did, but for an important reason.
Okay, all right. There you go. Yep. So that's too funny. Yep. You know, because here's the deal. Now we're really under pressure because normally we plan what we're going to say for the next segment.
No, we don't.
I'm just teasing, of course, but... Yeah. So where were we before they showed it? We were talking about the psychology of investors, right?
Yeah. And just having emotion involved.
Right.
And how that can negatively impact. Sometimes it could help, but more often than not, if you let emotion control your decision making, it's going to work poorly. I mean, we mentioned the Chargers earlier. Most people have their little office pool every week, and how often do you circle the Chargers, even though you don't think they can win just because you want them to and you make that emotional choice? It's the same concept with investing. If there's a company you like just because you like shopping there, but they're not doing well, like with some of these electronic stores that have gone out of business because of
Best Buy is struggling like crazy right now.
Right. The advent of Amazon and these other online retailers that just have put these brick and mortar businesses out of business.
Yeah.
You like going there because it's nice to go look and touch and feel, but you know they're disappearing because you're in that store by yourself whenever you're there. There's no one else shopping. You need to not just pick that because you hope they make it because that would have a negative impact.
Right.
You're losing money.
I heard the other day, actually, that Uber, that car taxi service, you know, where anyone can be a taxi driver now.
Sure.
Now they're starting to do deliveries.
Really?
So Uber might be like Hertz and FedEx all rolled into one.
Wow.
Because you can go online and they'll go and grab your stuff and deliver
it. Take it somewhere.
Take it to your house or whatever.
Boy, that would...
Then you can just do it on your cell phone. You don't have to. It's like, hey, can you pick this up from here? And off they go.
Right. Pay the same fee you would pay.
Yeah. Pay the taxi.
Which in many cases would be cheaper than shipping it.
And certainly a lot... better use of your personal time than driving over there, you know, save those hours and your car and your dollars and that. So yeah, could you imagine?
Everything's getting easier.
Game changer, maybe.
Yes.
We'll see
the impact that has on your FedExes and your UPSs.
Well, they should start dropping their prices, to be honest, because not that the post office is making any money, but I have to say the post office is about a third of the price of using them.
Now. Well, they're doing everything they can to draw business.
Yeah, but that's why they lose. They need to probably, I don't want to say this loudly because I use the post office, but they probably need to raise their prices.
They should raise their rates.
You know, because that's why they're burning billions every year.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it's a difficult world. And all of these conversations, I mean, they play on you because they all fit into the investment analysis decision-making process.
Right.
And it changes every single day. Just my example for Uber, I mean, you could be long FedEx, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, and I'm not saying Uber's going to take over from FedEx tomorrow. I mean, they just don't have the capacity. But I'm just saying that.
But it could negatively impact it,
correct,
which would cause the share value to drop.
Yeah. And there's an example where, you know, I'm not saying sell FedEx. I'm just saying that. You know, there's an invasive technology or an invasive company that starts stealing market share, and so you just can't be wedded to those positions.
Right.
Yeah.
And like an example, again, going with the idea of having a plan and reviewing it regularly, your advisor should question you holding a Qualcomm that you've owned for 20 years because it's... you can't sell it now because it dropped too much, or any position like that, and really ask you, is this appropriate for what you've outlined as your goals?
Right.
And if it's not, that advisor should be advising you, I know this is an emotional thing. However, it is in your best interest to take this out of the picture now and let's find something else.
Or like I know you've done in the past, with certain clients, which I think is a pretty good way to go, is either to just set a sell stop on the position so that if it does go higher, they get the benefit of the increase in value, And or you could, sell puts on the position and pocket the premium. And if it goes higher, you'd keep the premium. And if and when it falls off the face of the earth, you've sold it at that price. And so there are ways where you don't necessarily have to just sell the stock and just get out right now. If the market continues to run and you don't want to have that emotional roller coaster, you can let it run. Don't tear up your winning horse's ticket right before it gets to the finish line. Seriously, it's one of those things. It's an old rule of trading. Let your winners keep running. And one of the ways is, as you say, just follow it with a stop. But do set the stops for those particular types of investments.
Well, that just about does it for us today.
Does it?
Hopefully we have added significant value. I think this was good, very good information that we were able to share today. So thanks again for listening. If you would like to reach out to us, you can email either of us, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. We love to hear from listeners. That's how we make the basis of most of our shows. We'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com, or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.